Welcome. To Arcade Audio.
Welcome to this week's episode of Married with Movies. I'm one of your hosts, Samantha Mullet. Sitting next to me on the couch is your other host, my beautiful husband, Chris Mullet.
It is really stressful, period, full stop. That's just like a sentence that summarizes
both of us.
But recently, like, I don't know why 520
You get performance anxiety, right? Trying to answer my introduction.
No. That you have no idea what I'm going to say.
Fuck you.
There is some anxiety, but not performance anxiety. I guess it is a form of it because, like, more and more people are listening to the show. And, like, I don't want this to be, like, an inauthentic experience. Like, I've never censored myself for anything.
Oh, we know.
At all.
We know, buddy.
But still, it's, like, in the back of my mind now, like, and I'm also replaying, like, the previous other 520 plus episodes.
Yeah, I'm like, oh, God, what did I say on this?
Yeah, like I'm thinking, like, of people that are now listening to the show and then being like, oh, like, let me go back and watch, like, listen to them talk about this movie. Sure. And that's going to be the one episode where I'm like, hell yeah, I'm suckling dicks, you know?
Don't just say it again.
I'm going to be authentic about something. No, it's more so about, like, it would be more about, like, specific people and specific things and specific opinions. No, I'm going to talk about fucking, you know, eating butt and doing whatever.
You're so fucking weird.
For, you know, not that I do that. Just like, and if I did, it'd be like, you cut the butt off, you put it on a plate, you grill it up nice with like some, what?
What? Where did that even come from? What? You are super stressed.
I am melting. On a regular basis.
Yeah.
It is, hold on, I don't even know what day of the week and what month and what year. Let me figure this out. Hold on. It's Wednesday.
Correct.
Okay, it's Wednesday. It's April.
Yes.
Awesome. All right, I know it was tax day. Yeah, so it's the 16th.
Yes. Whew. You made it.
I did not embellish that at all. That was an actual process I had to go through to figure my shit out. Because it's been a little while since we recorded, I think, right? What was the last movie we recorded? We did, hold on, I'll tell you. We did The Shape of Water. So that was before my trip last week. Was I on the road last week? What year is it? I didn't say the year.
2035. No, No, I'm pretty sure we did this when you got back. We did this on, I think, we recorded on the 10th.
It doesn't ultimately matter. All the days are just going to, like, merge and blend into one another.
We recorded it sometime in the last 2 weeks because we watched the movie 2 weeks ago.
Right. We watched it prior to me going away last week for work.
Yeah, I know, but I don't know if we recorded before or after you came back. Before you left or after you came back.
If you're new here, welcome to our new normal, which is trying to make 10-day weeks make sense.
Make sense of anything that happens anymore.
And that's in between us talking about a random movie from our massive movie collection and us talking about our married lives.
Because this is Married with Movies. You know, this is a magnet. Look at how cool this is. Look at that.
You know what I always enjoy on a podcast? When someone says, hey, look at this. That's always like the most fun thing that could happen. Yeah. And then you know what's even more fun? When I have to explain what that thing is and the people are like, oh, I wonder how cool it is. And it's just you with a shitty fucking hair clip over your AirPods. A bobby pin over AirPods.
And they were like magnetic and I was trying to put them on my AirPods and it was like repelling them and it just fascinated me.
I've done over
1,000
podcasts in my life. And I can say that is honestly one of the dumbest things that's ever happened on a podcast.
That's not true. I've listened to almost every podcast.
Yeah, and about 40% of those podcasts I've done with Augie or Tillas. And that's still,
yeah, and so that's not the dumbest thing. Augie.
That's right, he's one of the people who listen to us. Not new. He's one of our oldest and, well, literally one of our oldest fans.
Well, yeah. yes, and also because you kind of have to.
Mm-hmm. So I started my new job last... I've already been starting my new job for like a month, but the
like official.
One of the main parts of my job is traveling, so I was on the road for 4 days last week.
Mm-hmm.
And we're getting used to that.
We are getting used to...
Because also we have an incredibly busy, like, next three months in terms of everything we're trying to do.
Yeah.
So it's been a bit of an experience. It's been a bit odd. This past weekend we celebrated an early Easter with my family and Passover. Really more Passover because of these plague masks and this matzo ball popper we found at Publix. Where's Mr. Matzo Ball, by the way?
He's upstairs in the suitcase still. I mean, I started unpacking, but he's still...
It's a toy. It's not a real actual person.
It's not a little boy we adopted or anything.
Well, he's named Mr. What little boys are named Mr.?
I mean, they're, you know, respect.
They're little sirs. That's how I refer to misters as. They're little sirs. They're not misters. So we're getting back into this, into like as much of a routine as possible. I am on the road again next week. So we got to figure that out. I just realized because this is airing 2 days from now and we have WrestleMania this weekend and I will be on the road.
We'll have to watch the movie tomorrow and record Friday or some combination.
Correct. Which, you know what, I feel okay about because honestly, what I said we were going to do tomorrow, I did today, which was knocking out all that pricing and stuff
for our upcoming garage sale, upcoming shows. Yeah, we have a really busy few weeks outside of you traveling for work.
Mm-hmm.
Really busy couple months, actually. So, yeah, but we'll get used to it.
And like we've said for a while here,
it's fine.
We love you all, but if we miss some weeks, we miss some weeks.
Yeah.
So go back and listen to another episode if you missed it. One thing that you will get more of with me traveling, because I'm traveling by myself and I need to keep myself entertained and busy, is more movie reviews.
Because everyone is just on the edge of their seat waiting for those.
It's literally what the podcast is.
I know.
But people are looking forward to it more because they don't have to listen to your perspective on it.
Shut the fuck up. People love my perspective on things.
Who?
They do. Everyone.
Everyone?
Everyone. A lot of people listen to this show listen because of me.
You went from everyone to a lot. That's not a great sign.
A majority of the people who listen to this show.
Now you're just waffling. I went to the theater that I worked at during my adolescence in Stuart, Florida, and I saw A Working Man because...
Yeah, that's why people tune into this. You just made my point for me. Thank you so much.
You stupid...
Mother?
I had a 9:45 private viewing of A Working Man in my hometown theater. I know we're already going long in this intro, but I have to share the story. So this was the final night that I was in town for work. It had been a long 4 days training and learning what I'm supposed to be doing. And I went to the theater. I haven't gone to this theater that I... worked in from 2003 to 2006.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I've seen a theater there since, seen a movie there since I working there. Honestly,
oh, wow.
Every time we've gone back, we've never really gone and seen a movie in Stuart when we visited people or whatnot.
No,
And it's the same theater chain as we have our theater here in Claremont, right down the street. So that was cool, and I've been very nostalgic. I'm going to be in Stuart more often, and I was, you know, in a mood where I was like, oh, let me, you know, talk to people here and see, like, their perspective on the movie theater. So I sat at the bar, I had a drink, and I asked, you know, to speak to the manager, because also I was hoping they had possibly, even though it was 20 years ago, some old stuff laying around of the old theater. You know, these places don't get cleaned out. And I spoke to this guy, he was very nice, and he really couldn't have cared less about the conversation. Like, he was nice, but, like... He was very much like, he was just, the manager and one other guy were the only people that were working because it was all self-service. There's no box office anymore. Everything's a fucking mess. They're just trying to get through their fucking life. And they're lucky that the theater's open in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
So I talked with him about 10 or 15 minutes before my movie and just had like one of the most worthless conversations I've ever had in my entire life. Just like sharing my stories and him just like not having the perspective on it at all because everything's totally fucking different. He was older than me too.
Of course.
So like, I think that's probably what didn't help, was I was like, oh yeah, like I'm in town now, I got this job doing this, you know, like doing really well for myself and talking about how I did this job in high school. he's hanging out.
He's
in his mid-40s wearing a black vest.
He's just trying to pay his mortgage.
He might be a recurring character on the show, because every time I go there, I would be like, hey, what's going on, dude? I don't remember his fucking name.
Oh, great.
And at one point, I was hoping he just was going to give me like a fucking free drink or something, and he didn't. And then eventually I just go see a fucking working man by myself. And I did. And it was exactly what I expected it to be. A fucking Jason Statham action movie in 2025 that was co-written by Sylvester Stallone. Which was definitely the worst part of it. Because Sylvester Stallone, in all the movies obviously you've seen him in, except for like Rocky, isn't the best like writer. So this movie had a lot of potential just from a brainless entertainment standpoint. Mm-hmm. And it still provided some of that. But beyond that, was kind of a rough 2 hours, but it got us points for our movie league, which we desperately need.
So. That's all I can ask for these days.
So next week,
points for our movie league.
Next week, I'm gonna have a much different experience. I don't know if I'm gonna actually go to also called.
You're not
Regency.
Even gonna go to that theater.
Well, because
you just talked about how you're gonna go there every time. You're gonna make friends with this guy. You are. Such a piece of shit.
The reason why is because the Regal in town is bigger and nicer and it's connected to the mall.
Oh, it's
and has
better.
More, no, it has more food options.
Fuck Regency.
So I might, yeah, really.
Fuck Epic.
Unless I want to just have two J's every time I go to the
There's nothing wrong with that.
There's not every time.
Hang on a second. There's a two J's that you can frequent?
Yeah, it's in the same plaza as Regency. You didn't know that?
Yeah, I didn't grow up in fucking Stewart, buddy.
You never listen to me talk?
You don't ever talk about two J's.
You just got really cross-eyed all for a second. It was really weird.
Yeah, I'm mad.
You turn into the Hacksaw Jim Duggan when you think about two J's.
Get some good chopped liver.
It's not my favorite place.
Yeah, because you're not Jewish.
And also, it's probably per capita, like, one of the busiest 2Js in the country.
Yeah,
just based off of how many fucking old Jewish people are in Stewart.
Yeah.
Well, now, because it's summer. Now, actually, I could probably just walk right in. But also, I'm going to go see Sinners next week, which has gotten, like, some of the best reviews in quite a long time. I'm very excited to see it. And I might want to go to, like, a bigger, better theater to experience it. That's all I'm saying. Although, I guess, I didn't get to see one of the big theaters in the back for Regency. I'll figure it out. That's neither here nor there. I'm just stalling.
What is wrong with you?
I don't want to talk about this movie. That's what I'm getting at here, because we watched this week. Have you watched or done anything while I was gone? No? Cool.
No, I have. You're such an asshole. You're a giant asshole.
So do you.
What? You are the epitome of, you just love to hear yourself talk.
Yeah. Yeah, and so do other people like to hear me talk as well?
No, that's...
Go ahead.
Flat out lie.
Go ahead. Tell people what
you watched all three of the Zombies movies with Jillian while you were gone. What? We're going to a concert in September because she's very into the Descendants movies and the zombie movies, and, you know, I wanted to be prepared for the concert, and you were gone last week, so that's what Jillian and I did. We watched those movies. There's some catchy stuff, some catchy tunes. Mm-hmm. That's one thing about Disney, especially those DCOMs, right?
Those are called DCOMs?
Not anymore. I don't know if they call them DCOMs anymore.
When were they ever called DCOMs?
Disney Channel Original Movies?
They're called Disney Channel Original Movies.
They're DCOMs. Come on.
I don't think anybody
you call
it that.
I'm sorry. You call yourself
a lazy
movie?
I say Disney Channel Original Movie.
Yeah, they're DCOMs. Come on. You sounds, call yourself a movie expert?
You sound like an offensive foreign comedian trying to say sitcoms.
You are.
I watch DCOMs.
That doesn't even make any sense.
It makes sense to me. Yay. Also, if I forgot, I also today watched the Peacock documentary film Becoming a Spectacle about WrestleMania 9, and it was great.
I thought we were going to watch that together.
Oh, I didn't even want to watch that.
Yes,
with me.
You said that we were going to watch it.
Oh, I didn't remember that. I'll watch it again. When do you expect us to watch it? By the time WrestleMania 59 comes out?
Yes.
Cool. Well, I'm glad you were productive and watched three DCOMs.
Now you're not allowed to say it now. Now it sounds like you're being derogatory on purpose.
Oh, I was.
You're being creepy. So.
But not towards anybody or anything.
No, towards me.
Towards DCOMs, yeah. We watched from our Camp Pick list, our Pick'em-Off series, The League of Extraordinary Gentlemen, which you 1,000% nominated, right? Because you'd seen this before, yeah?
1,000%.
Yeah, I thought you said 1,000 times. I was like, no. We need to reassess this marriage.
I think this was the second time I've seen this movie.
I'd never seen this movie before. So here we go, The League of Extraordinary Gentlemen. A mind-blowing adventure, says Sandy Newton, CBS TV. Wasn't she the LVP of Sgt. Pepper? Or Sandy Duncan? I don't know. Sean Connery leads a stellar cast in this breathtaking epic adventure in which a legion of superheroes, including an immortal, a vampirist, an invisible man, a monster, and a spy, must track down a madman intent on launching global Armageddon. But first, they'll have to achieve the impossible, working alongside one another. This fucking movie. Spoiler alert! I wasn't a fan. I'm going to give this movie a 2.5.
Oh my gosh, really?
Yes. I thought this was this lived up to every bit of the reputation that I've heard about this movie and why I avoided this movie forever. It is just a kind of a waste of everybody involved. Well, I'm sorry. It's a waste of one person's fucking time. And everybody else kind of, I feel like, deserves to be in it. what are you giving this movie?
A 4.5.
4.5?
I'm not saying, like, I didn't nominate this because I thought it was, like, the best movie I've ever seen in my life. I nominated it, one, because of the content, and two, because I was hoping that you would give it a score like you just gave it.
You just want to hear me rant about this movie?
Yes.
Here's the thing. This movie doesn't even deserve, like, rants and raves of mine.
Yes, it does.
I mean, it's still going to fucking get it, of course, because I am who I am. Fucking Popeye. I'm surprised Popeye wasn't in this!
No, no, that's ridiculous.
Popeye ain't based on a book? That might be. Those 1,000 podcasts I'm referring, the dumbest question I've ever asked. Popeye, he's based on a book, right? That's also a Jiminy Glick question.
That's been all for...
I am so tired! Popeye, he's based on a book, isn't he?
Can you stop saying the same thing over and over again in a different way?
So, I don't even remember why you fucking nominated this.
Who the fuck knows?
So, why is this movie, in your opinion, almost okay?
It's almost okay because it's a lot of fun. Having a lot of fun. You're taking a bunch of different characters and you're putting them together in the turn of the century, late 1800s, early 1900s, and they're just having fun. They're trying to have fun.
Trying is the opera.
It looks cool.
So the one thing I will give the movie. It
looks really, really good. For coming out 20-something years ago.
This is in 2003. So this movie came out 22 years ago.
It really, you have to admit, it really does look good. Some of those scenes, especially with like, some of like the transformations and stuff like that. It looked legit.
The CGI, the production. I really thought so. The CGI, the production design, and even some of the practical effects that are in hand are really impressive for 2003.
Yes.
And it would be really impressive for 2025, considering how shitty so much CGI looks nowadays.
I agree. I think it just looks really cool.
I cannot argue with how this movie looks. Yeah. I can argue with pretty much everything.
Well, and the reason I gave it a 4.5, too, is because this movie, and especially because of the way it looks and the way it feels, it has so much potential. And I feel like it just waste it, and whether it's the directing, which we could talk about because I read some stuff about acting, the right. I mean, I feel like it was there and it was just like on the cusp of being like that kind of what this was probably going for, which was like a cult classic. You know,
I totally agree. I think this wanted to be the starting of a new big budget franchise. This wasn't trying to be something like that people discovered later on.
I'm sorry.
We're going to make 2, 3, 4, 5 of these things.
Take all, like, these people who could be in those cult classics and, like, bring them to light.
You mean The Invisible Man and Sherlock Holmes and Dracula? There's nothing cult about this. You are taking literary classic characters.
That's more so what I meant.
Yes.
I misspoke.
Yes, that's
literary
fine. Okay.
Classics, you're not cult classics.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yeah, you were taking principal characters. You're also taking the work of one of the most prominent graphic novelists and comic book writers of all time, Alan Moore, who is complete... I mean, he's just a curmudgeony piece of shit. But also, he's totally just in almost all of his opinions about what has been done with his projects in terms of adaptations solely based on this.
Yeah.
Because this, like you said, on paper, it should work.
It should be fucking sick.
It makes me want to read the series.
I really want to read the series because of how, like, this just... I feel like there's just so much more.
It's a really cool idea.
Absolutely.
The execution of this is so fucking blah. It's all right. So it's mostly blah, but the last botched. Like 20, 30 minutes of it are particularly, in my opinion, quite bad.
I like... There are some parts in between there that I'm like, oh, this is like a Shining moment.
See, I don't even have those Shining moments in between. Because here, like, I appreciate that this movie also doesn't really beat around the bush. Like, this movie, like Sean Connery's Alan Quartermain is, like, on the way to the meeting with M to, like, gather the lead of Extraordinary Gentlemen together within, like, 15 minutes. Like, I'm like, hey, man.
We're off to the races.
We are in it.
Real quick.
But, like, when we're off to it, it's because all, like, the script and the pacing is just fucking really poorly done. It is boring. It is lazy. It just goes. And you have no real care as to why and how. Yeah. There's no relationships developed between any characters. And if they are, they are so hackneyed that you couldn't, like, I could not care fucking less about Alan Quartermain and Tom Sawyer's, like, father-son relationship with another. I could not care less about the four fucking characters that are all ogling and trying to get with Mina. Like, I could not fucking care any less because we're just going from...
They didn't pace it properly.
And you didn't establish why... You didn't
put anything...
They're all of them are mostly anti-heroes as well. You have fucking Jekyll and Hyde, traditionally a villain. Dorian Gray, traditionally, and still in this, a fucking villain.
Swerve.
I literally almost said it when the movie went on. But I was too busy fucking focusing on every dumbass thing that character said.
Nemo.
Nemo is Nemo the captain? We watched 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea. Yeah, he's also kind of an anti-hero. Invisible Man, same thing, even though it's not the Invisible Man, it's an Invisible Man because they couldn't get the fucking rights. You know, and all those other kind of characters. So, like, if you have that, you have to give them some sort of reason, or you have to give us some sort of reason to root for them beyond they're just a bigger bat, right?
Right.
So like I'm not a Suicide Squad apologist.
But similar to Suicide, but this, you have
wow,
to,
this movie is fucking the Suicide Squad of the 2000s.
Yeah, this is Suicide Squad really light. But you have to give some of that, and that's part of the reason why, like, Suicide Squad, like, there were some standouts in it. That's kind of why, like, Harley Quinn then got her own movie. You know what I mean? Like,
well, if the one thing Suicide Squad has over this movie, it's that the cast includes Margot Robbie and Will Smith.
And probably, Jared Leto.
Shut the fuck up. That's probably about it.
You forgot Jared Leto.
I started talking, I was like, ah, never mind.
Yes, we're pretty.
Like Joel Kinnaman is fine and...
We're not there yet.
No, I know, but no, the Joel Kinnaman's not in this movie. I'm talking about Suicide Squad.
Oh,
Yeah, like the rest of this movie is it's just horribly dull and bland.
There were some funny parts. I think they tried to use humor. I think sometimes they did do it successfully. I think you thought that they did it successfully too. In some parts of it. I mean, you laughed out loud a couple of times.
I chuckled a couple times.
You laughed out loud a couple of
times. Tell me what times those were.
When they're listening to the recording disc from M and there's, you know...
Oh, no. The wolf. No, you're not. You cannot do this yet. I'm reserving this for two other parts in the podcast.
Oh,
thank
okay.
you very much. Yep, thank oh, you.
Sorry.
Can't do that. No, there was a part earlier on that I did. I don't remember what it was. It was probably something Sean Connery did. This movie is so bad it made Sean Connery quit acting. I think that's another reason why it deserves all the hatred that it gets. Is like, this movie took one of our most charismatic leading men, and he literally didn't act again for like 20 years. Like, we had plenty of time to still get him doing things.
But was it really him? Like, what was it really this movie's fault? Or was it because he was like an old fart by this time?
No,
who lost a lot of his charisma at this point in his career.
He is not the problem with this movie. Is that what you're in trying to insinuate?
No, I'm not.
He's not charismatic in this movie?
No.
So what do you, I don't understand the genesis of your comment then. Because I think he very easily still do, like, he's probably too old to do, like, Liam Neeson in Taken.
Yeah, exactly. But,
like, why couldn't he not, like, do another 5 to 10 years of movies?
Because they didn't make a sequel to this.
But this was such a negative experience, and he saw the writing on the wall as to where Hollywood was going, that he's like, I don't want to fucking put up with this. Was he probably also a pain in the ass? Sure, but he's Sean fucking Connery. I think he's kind of earned it at this point.
I guess that's
And he also point. Probably has sour grapes because he lost out on probably $500 million of turning down Gandalf and then did this. So, you know.
But I guess that's a good point.
For all intents and purposes, like looking, like reading the background to this movie, like you were referencing earlier, this director, like, didn't seem like he didn't like working with big crews and was very difficult to work with.
Like,
and then
you're making a big budget movie. Like, what the fuck you think? This is not a student film, buddy.
This is an attempt to launch like a tent pole. And
right.
And
you royally missed.
Yeah, and if you can't like rein in or like own the set, then yeah, Sean Connery's gonna walk all over it. He's part of the problem as well because he costs so much fucking money that they can't afford to get anybody else, as evidenced by the rest of the shitty ass cast of fucking nobodies and never was, and a couple people who like I recognize. But I recognize them for being in other shitty things like this. It's just a shit show, in my fucking opinion. But I'm glad that you think it's borderline. What are some of these like sequences or scenes that you're claiming are decent? And I'll tell you why you're wrong.
Oh, thanks. Yeah. So I liked the
scanning, reading.
For this movie that was, I thought like some of those special effects scenes, like, when Jekyll and Hyde was, when the Nautilus was sinking, like it had all the water, and Jekyll and Hyde, like he went under the water and he was like transforming under the water and he pulled the thing. And like, that's when he became like, you know, kind of like redeemed himself. I liked that scene. I thought that was. I thought really cool looking, and I thought it was a good way to like kind of redeem that character a little bit. Cause, like you said before, he's like usually like that villain and
one of the more forgivable scenes. Yeah, I wish the actor that played Hyde was better. It's also funny, he was one of the villains in Working Man.
Oh really? That's so weird.
And like he's fine. Like he's in like one scene in a Working Man.
That's so weird.
I mean, he's the guy everyone knows. That's not a spoiler. In the fucking trailer, he's the guy that's tied to a fucking chair that gets fucking drowned in the trailer.
He's in a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
He's like one of those guys that's like in everything, but you don't really ever know his name.
I feel that.
Yeah.
That's one part of the movie where the script, the character, the way it was written and the way it was put in situations was good. I didn't necessarily like, he was a better Hyde than Jekyll for sure. Like the Jekyll stuff just kind of really, oh no, sorry, I had that backwards. The Hyde stuff where it was like, he's too like, I don't know, it's too over the top for me, too, like, growly and fucking, like, obnoxious in a way. But the Jekyll stuff, I was okay with. So, yeah, so I'll give you that scene.
I thought it looked really cool, too, with him doing, like the things under the water. And I think that those were all practical effects as well, which I thought was really impressive.
I didn't dislike the opening, which was basically just a big German tank and newspaper clippings. Literally, it's well for 5 minutes of the movie we're just that. It was not a great start. But the scene where Reed goes and finds Quatermain in Africa, and then obviously they come out. Again, it was, I already joked about it, that it was all like way too fucking fast, and you're like trying to like go a breakneck pace right off the jump. But good action sequences. It was good establishing the Quartermain character. Had some gravitas to it. Like, that was probably, like, my favorite scene in the movie. And then there was another hour and 40 minutes of the movie, and that's never
been. I liked the fight scene between Mina and Dorian Gray from a special effects perspective. Mm. I don't think it caught your it was too low. You might have to do it louder. Okay.
Go ahead. I'm going to talk.
Apparently not.
No, I'm just comment. That's my comment on it. But can you do?
I said from like the banter that they had in the special effects perspective. I don't think it was well acted, but I liked the way it looked. Like when like they scratch each other or like hit each other, and then like they kind of healed because they're both immortal. I thought that was an interesting take on it.
Okay. I don't. We can get into scenes we didn't like then from that.
There was
that
some editing. Well, there's one more. Like there. So the editing of when they're doing towards the end, like the fight scenes. And it's cutting in between, like, the different groups. So it's like Nemo falls down, and then the person who gets up is not Nemo. It's, like, somebody else in, like, a different fight scene. Like, I liked how they edited that kind of montage of the fight scenes together towards the end.
Okay. Thank you for sharing that opinion.
You condescending piece of shit.
I don't know how to respond to something I vehemently disagree with. Like, the whole, like...
You didn't like... From any of the
no,
the fight
so
scenes?
literally from the moment that they kind of like get the Nautilus back up and running and they head to where the fuck were they, Antarctica or some bullshit?
Oh yeah.
Whatever like tundra they were in. Like the movie just totally falls off a cliff for me. I mean, it really started falling off a cliff for me. Like from the halfway point of the movie when they get to Venice. Like, every step this movie takes, I feel like it just chose the wrong way. Like, they get to Venice, and, like, it's just like, oh, bombs are going off. I guess we gotta, like, just, like, prevent, like, one building from falling so, like, the chain reaction stops.
Yeah, so the dominoes stop.
I couldn't fucking care less. So, like, that whole sequence was, like, not ideally, I feel like, a gripping sequence of events. But then it gets into, like, the obviously telegraphed reveal that it's not Skinner who was the mole, it's Dorian Gray. And then the equally meh moment when the Phantom character is revealed to be M this whole time, which, number one, is that supposed to be, like, M from James Bond? So, like, why
no,
the fuck?
Moriarty.
No, Moriarty. Sorry. In the Wikipedia article, it links to M from James Bond for some reason.
That's stupid.
Yeah, I don't know. That's what confused me. You're right, it's Moriarty. But, like, it's just a fucking nondescript white dude you saw for 2 minutes. So, like, when it revealed, I was like... Am I supposed to know who the fuck this is? I don't know who the fuck that guy is.
Hey, he's the guy who got the league together.
Could when it happened, I was like...
You weren't paying attention.
No, I was paying. I was paying too much attention because I was trying to hope that something exciting fucking happened. So, like, that whole sequence is fucking awful. And the only reason why it's saved is because of my favorite line in the movie, which we'll get to here in a second. But then, like, the expository video that they play that's just exhausting, like, begins the deterioration. Then they get to, like... the climactic location, and then there's this blatant, like, allegorical scene of Quartermain staring down this, like, white tiger, which is supposed to symbolize, like, he's getting old and he can't do this anymore. And then, like, the Mina character is just continually treated like a fucking piece of ass because she's the one woman in a fucking Hollywood blockbuster in the early 2000s. And then the ending is just these death fake-outs. Like, Skinner gets, like, burnt to a crisp, and Mina gets stabbed in the gut, and, like, Nemo gets knocked down to your point. They're getting down and getting back up.
Yeah.
And then, of course, they kill, like, the one actually interesting character in the whole fucking movie, which is a fucking bonkers decision, even though it's obvious that he's getting resurrected in the end for the sequel that never happens.
Well, you don't know that, because nothing, it doesn't happen at the end. Like, his hand doesn't come out or anything.
But
swerve, nothing happens.
I hate you. You're not bringing this back.
I am. I'm
no,
bringing
you're not.
It back.
No, you're not.
I've
you're
decided
not.
I am.
Nope. I refused. I decline your suggestion.
This is not how it works.
And, like, all the fights are fucking confusing. At this point, they're just big noises, and it doesn't fucking matter. And then, like, even the positive of, like, the special effects evaporates. Like, that villainous hide was one of the most abysmal things I've ever seen on screen. Like the fucking like the Red Hulk?
Red Hulk, I was going to say. It's like Red Hulk, but yeah. with a tiny head.
I'd like to think that they told Red Harrison Hulk Ford. With a tiny head. They told Harrison Ford, like, go watch this movie to show to know what not to do.
Yeah.
Like, it was just like, how the fuck is this gonna somehow get fucking worse? So that was definitely, like, to me, like, the worst part of the movie was that last little stretch. But I also just hated, like, the first scene of the League getting together. So, like, you kind of, like, Nemo just kind of walks in. The Invisible Man just kind of walks in.
Well, no, you don't see that. You don't know he just walked. He could have been sitting there for days.
Mina just kind of, like comes in. And they're having these really ill-conceived, awful character-building interactions with one another that, like, leave a lot to be fucking desired. And then you have you fucking pigeonhole in a character that's not even part of the original story, who's just tacked on to give it an American perspective, and he's...
Yeah, because Americans only want to watch Americans, Chris.
And he's one of the most insufferable fucking characters from the perspective of he can't do fucking anything seemingly right at any waking fucking moment throughout the entire movie until ultimately he gets one good fucking shot off. It is really, really, really hard to watch, this whole fucking movie. And let's not even get into the fact that I have one MVP written down, because I think that besides that, everybody else in the movie, from an acting perspective, was so off-fucking-kilter. Really? Yes. Yes, the MVP of this movie is Sean Connery, without fucking question. If you have anybody else, I could not even begin to believe who you could suggest. So, number one, do you have somebody else? And number two, am I wrong?
Well, he's definitely one of them. I think he does a great job, and I agree. He brings, like... he kind of ties everything together.
It also appears as though he's trying. Like, I was anticipating going into this being like, I know this is supposed to be bad, and also it's his last role, and I know he was fucking over it based on the fact that the director couldn't fucking handle the project at hand. So I was like, he's just fucking phoning it in. No, I feel like he actually gave a fucking goddamn effort.
Yeah.
And his charisma allowed that character to stand above the rest on top of the fact that it's the lead character.
Yeah, I also thought that the character of, or the guy who played an invisible man, like Skinner, I thought he did a really good job because it was mostly voice.
Yes.
And like the intonations, the interactions, like I thought that working with what little literally he had, I thought he did a really good job conveying, like, I got that guy's deal immediately.
Yeah. If you force me to name a number two and a number three, he would be number two, and I didn't hate Peta Wilson as Mina. I thought she was...
I thought she held her own against everybody else.
Her character was so fucking poorly written. Absolutely. She also has my favorite line in the movie, which now I can get to, where she, obviously, as a vampirist, she has been taken by Dracula. And at one point, she's basically, like, offered to, like... you know, kill again, or I forget what the context of it was, but her quote is, I've had my fill of throats for the evening, and I went, Hey, yo! That's a dope-ass line!
Hey, yo!
I always like movies when the girls had her fill of throats. I'm part of the problem. I was just complaining.
I hate you so much.
I was just complaining, well, what else am I ayoing about? Contextually, that's how it is. But yeah, it's Sean Connery. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, it's Sean Connery. I believe he's joining the multi-time MVP list. Let me just confirm here real quick. Because I believe he was the MVP for The Rock. So he is now the MVP.
Was that your Sean Connery impression?
Yes, it was.
Do it again.
That wasn't quite, that was all right. Was just all right. Everyone can do a Sean Connery.
You sound like you're Daniel Day-Lewis trying to do a Sean Connery.
If you have a Sean Connery impression, here it is. Here's the Sean Connery impression. Now it's just an amalgamation of the two. He also is my MVP of this movie for one of, like, a dope-ass behind-the-scenes quote that I don't know if you clocked. Let me pull up the story from IMDb. I'm sure you saw it, but I'll share it with the audience as well. There's actually two of them. So, yeah, he had a particularly bad time working with director Stephen Norrington, who never directed a movie ever again, which is kind of wild. Like, think of, like, the number of times on this podcast we've talked about a director saying, like that's done a movie, and we're like, oh, yeah, this guy directed that. And, like, the guy who directed fucking one of the early Adam Sandler movies, directed like The Fucking Chaperone. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They disagreed with almost everything. There was constantly setup changes in the shoot. Connery was getting annoyed, shouting matches. There was also a challenge to just punch one another in the face. And then the director did not attend the opening party. And then when asked why the director wasn't there, Sean Connery said, well, we must probably check the local asylum for him because he's hated him so much. Oh my gosh. There was another wonderful quote where the impersonation that Peter Wilson does of Sean Connery in this movie is very fleeting and passing. It's a last-minute addition to the scene. She was nervous to do it because apparently, like, Sean Connery doesn't like impressions of himself to be done, which, you know, is, I get it. He's been hearing them for 50 years, right?
Sure, sure.
So she called and, like, confirmed it was okay to do, and he insisted that she do it. And then, she asked him what he thought, and he thought, I thought it was great. And she's like, really? And he goes, yeah, it's terrible. It's the worst impersonation I've ever heard. It means it's perfect. So that's the thing. Like, he seemed like he, like, earnestly wanted to give it the fucking college try and just wasn't in the fucking cards or the script or all the other performance around him and the directing. So Sean Connery is the MVP of The League of Extraordinary Gentlemen. LVP, buckle the fuck up, because I don't think we've ever had a movie where I have literally
four
number one choices. Really three. I originally wrote down the guy who played Reed because I thought he was going to be a bigger part in the movie. And he was just like such a snoozer of a personality in like that first scene.
I thought that they were the same person.
Like, fucking exactly. Yeah. Just fucking white European dudes.
White European dudes. Exactly, yes. Right.
But it's not him because ultimately he's inconsequential. And ultimately there's three people who, in my opinion, are so much fucking worse. So I will let you, I want to hear who your top choice is. If it's not one of the three people I have, I'd be stunned. And then we can work out if that is actually the true.
Okay, so I think that the three Elvis. You want my top choice for Elvis?
Oh no, do you have three people written down?
I have two people written
down. Okay, I'll take both of those. And then we'll see who you're missing.
Stuart Townsend.
Yep, as Dorian Gray.
And Shane West.
As Tom Sawyer, yeah. It's one of those two. So my third is, I think it's Richard Roxburgh as Phantom slash M.
Why do you say it like that?
I don't know how to fucking say it. It's like Roxburgh. It's just a bad last name.
Roxburgh.
Yeah, Roxburgh.
Why'd you say Roxburgh?
Because I thought
like you had rocks in your mouth. Like, what? What was that?
That's probably how he got his name. His name's probably like Richard Smith or something. It was like, he had rocks in his mouth once, and they're like, Rockberg.
Chris, I think you need to go to sleep.
Probably.
Go to bed.
He had some laughably bad line delivery, particularly when he was Phantom, and just his whole aesthetic was fucking terrible. And for him to be like this big reveal, he just had no fucking like riz about him at all from like an ominous, like evil perspective. The other two are fucking so wretched that he is definitively number three.
Well,
and they're the other two people in this movie who I recognize. Stuart Townsend was in
Queen of the Damned. He was Lestat.
And Shane West has been in like a bunch of
stuff. Well, especially this time. So yeah. This time he was coming off of A Walk to Remember. Yep. He was coming off a couple other things where he was like trying to launch into that teen male lead heartthrob kind of role, and it just didn't. That's I think why they pigeonholed him, like why they forced that character into this to get him in, because they thought it would attract because of like kind of that buzz that he had going at this time.
He was Taylor Kitsch BC. You know what I mean? Like, Taylor Kitsch from, like, 2009 to 2013, 14.
I still want
to
see that Savages movie.
Fucking everything.
I still want to see that Savages movie.
And it's like,
movie.
Why are we going to shove this fucking guy down throats? We've had our fill of them.
If you start saying
this, I had my fill of throats in common conversation.
I swear to God.
I might. So let's break down the two of these. Let's come up with which answer is correct. Because I think they're both right. But we got to pick one.
Oh, I have the way to pick it. So, I know the answer. I know how to do it.
I think I do too.
No, I know. Do you want me to do it right now?
No, you're not. Because we're talking about the same thing. So let's start with Shane West then, I guess. Because I think, like, the problem is that you see him after you see Stuart Townsend. So when you see him after Stuart Townsend, I literally wrote down, how many dudes with no aura in this era are we going to just fucking pigeonhole into this movie?
I think the part two is like, he's supposed to have this charisma, and Shane West does normally have this aura and charisma, but you can't put him in a movie with
Sean Connery
and expect the same effect to happen. You can put him in like A Walk to Remember starring alongside Mandy Moore, and they have great chemistry together, and he oozes that that charm and everything, but he is low on the totem pole here. The guy who played Skinner had more charisma than Shane West in this, and you couldn't see him for half of his scenes.
Fair. Okay. Yeah, every time he's in a scene, and I think we are correct that he's ultimately not going to be our answer, and it's going to be Stuart Townsend for not the reasons we're going to say, but ultimately because a lot of it is the character's fault, and not, and like the performance doesn't help, but the character is really written like he's supposed to be like the secondary main protagonist.
Correct.
And he's just fucking insufferable. Like he constantly is obnoxious or out of place and never really like makes anything of himself. And like you said, it's because he's literally right next to one of the most charismatic human beings that's ever fucking lived.
Exactly right.
So yeah, his performance is bad. That said, so I was going to push for him harder. Because I was going to argue that what we're going to argue Stuart Townsend as Dorian Gray being the MVP for is not his fault. No, I think it is his fault. So he is such a little prissy bitch in this. And I've read the picture of Dorian Gray, and I get there is a certain level of, like, status and entitlement, but it's also, like, there is, he's a tragic figure. And sure. there's, like, no, like, semblance of tragedy to him at all. It is all prim and proper and, you know, like this dripping. He's just dripping. Let's put it, he's just dripping this entire time. And he plays him so smarmy that it's completely off-putting, even when he's like a good person. When you think he's a good person. When he's a bad person, you couldn't care any less. Accentuated by probably two of the worst line deliveries I've ever heard in a movie ever in the same expositionary video I was referencing earlier. This is also going,
when
right
I was
in,
talking about.
Going right into my rant, which I refused you to say this before I got a chance to say it. So,
I'm going to just do it.
No.
You better get to
it. No, I'm going to do it right now.
You better hurry.
So as this video is playing of M showing like how they were able to like do this, and of course it's before this was a fucking common trend of, oh, the villain put everything into place because it was the plan and yada, yada, yada. They're basically trying to create an army of super soldiers based off of all these people's like quirks and abilities.
Correct.
And I don't even remember what the context was for why Dorian Gray's character says it. Because there's not like a wolf.
No, he says, I sent in my wolf in sheep's clothing.
I sent in my wolf in sheep's clothing. And Dorian Gray, Stuart Townsend, goes, growl.
But the way he said it was, growl. And you busted out laughing.
He says it.
He says it and you went,
like I mean, that. I mean this with all
you
due respect.
You went.
He said it.
It excited you.
He said it like every first contestant ever eliminated from RuPaul's Drag Race mixed into one.
How many episodes of RuPaul's Drag Race?
None, but I can imagine whoever the first person is voted off that show is always probably pretty bad and always pretty catty. And, like, that's not that character. And he says it, like, he even has, like, a little, like, a lip or an eyebrow. He's like, growl.
Yeah.
It's like, you're not flirting with the camera. You're Dorian fucking Gray.
I mean, maybe he was flirting with the camera.
And then in the same video, later on, he hits us with not as egregious of a moment, but when they're talking about the Venice plot, and him, like, escaping, and them, like exploding all these buildings, he goes, bomb voyage! And I'm like, bomb voyage! And I'm like, we are deteriorating at such a rapid rate in this movie that it is alarming.
It's because, no, it wasn't because of that, it was because they had hidden the bombs on the submarine, and they were exploding, so he said, oh, bomb voyage at that point.
You know what's maddening? During this movie, do you know who he was dating during this movie's filming?
The girl who plays Mina?
No, no. He was with Charlize Theron for 8 years.
Yeah.
Including this movie.
Yeah. That shit is, like that always happens.
That is agonizing. That this human being could be in such close proximity to one of the most like beautiful women that has ever existed. Yeah, his career fucking craters. pretty much right around. He was also in Aeon Flux, which I wonder who got him that fucking gig. And then, like, he is not in anything worthwhile. He does Queen of the Damned in this movie, like, in a back-to-back clip. And then he's just fucking gone. And I think it's because he's a fucking wretched actor.
Yeah.
So, Stuart Townsend is the LVP of The League of Extraordinary Gentlemen. But Shane West is going to be a fucking should-have-been LVP candidate at the end of the year. Because that character is... Also, I liked the guy who played Captain Nemo, but I just wanted something...
I wanted more.
I wanted
and like, that's kind like, of why, from him. That's why I gave it the score I gave it, because I wanted more. Like, there was... It was just... So much was just, like, on the edge. Like, his fight scene when he was like, oh, I walk a different path, and he had this sword.
That character was really cool in his fight scenes.
Martial arts and stuff. Like, I just wanted it taken to 11, it would have been sick.
So, you wanted more. I wanted something. And, like, that was something... But, like, in between, it's a wrestling analogy for you. When you have a character that has a lot of charisma, a connection with the crowd, maybe a good promo, yada, yada, yada. Awesome. Great. But then the bell has to ring.
Yeah.
And then you see what the problem is. That's exactly what I felt like with that character, but the opposite. In the fight scenes and stuff, which probably was just a fucking, stunt double. So probably it was even that fucking guy. But that guy, like, just in his scenes, just left something to be desired, so... all right, I already did my rant, so as we were running long here under our new quote-unquote format, I'll let you ask your dumb question of the week.
Okay. Which one, if you had to have one of their powers or supernatural things, what would you have? Would you have...
Invisibility. Fucking easy. Done. That is a dumb question. Who would... What? Do I want to be a vampire? Do I want to turn into a fucking hideous creature? Those are the only powers that exist.
Well, no, and then like Nemo's technology, like you want to have like those phallic technological advances that are very advanced for 1899.
Do I want to be cursed to drink blood? Do I want to turn into a beast? Do I want to have Apple products? Or do I want to be able to go unnoticed for the rest of my life potentially? Yeah, I'll go with that one. I thought you were going to ask me this isn't a dumb question. This is a good, interesting, conversation-provoking question.
Oh, because you're going to ask it?
Well, and you didn't ask it. Mm. What are there any other characters you would be interested in?
No. Fucking asshole.
Set yourself Why, can you know this is a much better question than yours?
Shut the fuck up.
Also, you're a reader. You're a literary...
You said... You've dubbed this the dumb question of the week. I'm not supposed to come up with interesting and thought-provoking questions
But every now and then, you surprise me.
But that's not the gimmick.
You don't have to know. So
you said.
I call it your dumb question of the week because it's just a dedicated question you get to ask.
I call it
the dumb question because usually it is.
No, you're so mean.
I'm just being honest.
Fuck you.
Ow. That's on tape. Good. People, you know, listen to this. She hit me.
I gave you a high five.
You hit my hand.
With my hand, which is a high five.
Hold your hand out. Is that a high five?
Yeah, you just did it on the back of my hand instead of the front.
Shit, anything else on the League of Extraordinary Gentlemen?
No.
Great. you know what, kind of in a roundabout way, this is weird. I do believe this is one of... let me see if my memory will serve me. So this movie came out in like June or July of 2003, so it was out right before I started working at the aforementioned Regency Cinemas. In Stuart, but I still had this Mylar. So when I started working and I started like collecting things from the theater, I had the little Mylar placards that were over the theater to show you what the movie was in before everything went fucking digital. So there was just a pile of them for movies that had already been gone by the time I started there, because I started in August of 03. And this was one of them. It was like this. God, what the fuck was it? I could look at the box. This is the only one that I vividly remember. And everyone I worked with would be like, yeah, that movie sucked. that's how I knew. Because like I had no interest to go see this because I didn't know the book. I didn't know really any of the characters at the time as a 16-year-old person.
Yeah.
Did you see this in theaters? When did you see this? I didn't actually.
I don't remember.
That's wild. How
old were we when it came out?
16.
I may have seen it in theaters. I don't remember.
Yeah.
But no, I mean, I'm like you said, I'm a literary person. Like, I knew a lot of these characters. I've read some of these books around that time. But I never read, like, the comic or anything that, you know,
I'm gonna find it after this.
Yeah, I would like to, because I'm into all that kind of stuff. Yeah. But yeah, I think I did see it in theaters.
I'm quickly looking up. I want to look up the weekend it came out. Because it didn't...
July 11th.
Yeah, no, I found it. I just want to see... I know it opened up number two against Pirates. I had a Terminator...
That's its problem.
I had a Terminator 3 Mylar. I had a Legally Blonde 2 Mylar. I had a Charlie's Angels Full Throttle Mylar. These are all movies that, like, I just missed working there. And I think I had a 28 Days Later one. Those are the ones that are coming to mind, so...
How full circle?
In what way?
So 28 Days Later, now that the new...
Oh, 28 Years Later?
And then Legally Blonde 2, and they're coming out with another one.
Well, some call it full circle, some call it laziness. in Hollywood, and the problem with Hollywood. Anything else?
No, I think we covered everything.
Do you want to lock in your score of a 4.5?
I'll bring it down to a 4.
I'm bringing mine down to a 2. I borderline hated this movie.
It's just a waste because it could have been cool.
So I will happily watch like every Birdemic movie or Neil Breen movie over and over and over again because of how bad they are. And they are bad. They're worse than this movie.
Yeah.
But this to me is almost more offensive and like these are the kind of things I literally hate to watch. Because there was so much time and resource and effort put into it, and this is the final product.
Yeah.
And that just fucking drives me nuts. That's and it's still made like $70-80 million.
Yeah.
So it's awful. So a 3 for the League of Extraordinary Gentlemen is our score.
Which I think is appropriate. It has a 5 point something on IMDb, but a 17% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Yep.
So I think that's an appropriate score.
I would agree. Would agree. All right, time to do a new pick 'em off movie. Oh. So can you pull up the random number generator?
I can.
1 and 113 is the number we're going to pull up.
1 and 113.
And this will be watched here in the next few weeks. We got Beetlejuice, Paris Jettème, Twisters, and The Aristocrats coming up, along with...
Number 64.
So that is... Oh, God, I don't want to watch the fucking movie. American Hustle.
Oh, good, finally! Didn't I nominate this movie seven times?
Every fucking bullshit movie on this list comes from you! Because you are one of the few people that still likes this movie.
Look, to be fair, I only ever saw this movie once.
Me too, it was enough!
Whatever, man.
And I bought it because you liked it, and I love my wife, and back in the day, I just like to have
you're
things
such
under
a
the
liar.
Christmas tree.
You're such a liar.
I just said, back in the day, I loved my wife, is what I just
Fuck
said.
Fuck you.
Oh, God. All right, well, we'll tackle that in about a month's time. But until then, thank you for listening to this week's episode of Married to Movies. We encourage you, as always, go to archiveaudio.net. For this podcast and the others in our network of shows, rate, review, and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Patreon.com/arcadeaudio for bonus content. Facebook.com/marriedtomovies at marriedwmovies on Twitter. And marriedtomovies@gmail.com. Let us know what you think of the show. For me, at your host, Malt38 on Instagram. For you,
at JamWithYourSam.
And we got anything else coming up? Plug?
Next month.
Nope.
Come to our garage sale.
Oh, sure.
And the month after that, we have 2 toy shows. You should come and buy all of our stuff, please. Thank you.
Please and thank you. Any final thoughts as you continue to ruin this podcast with your awful movie choices?
Did you just say my awful what choices?
Your awful movie choices.
You're rude.
Am I?
I think that you're wrong. And plus, we have to have balance. We can't just watch all great movies.
Here's the thing. Yeah, I nominate fun bad movies.
No, you don't.
Yeah, I do.
No, you don't.
I do.
You don't. Not always. I'm the one who finds good bad movies. That Slaughterhouse was my idea.
Sand sharks was my idea. I found those.
Sand sharks was not your idea.
Sand or the sand, not sand sharks, the sand.
Get your sand right.
The sand or killer beach or whatever it was called.
It's called both. The sands. The sand.
The sands too.
Well, it's just sand. It's like James Cameron. Sands with a dollar sign.
Yeah. For a mullet.
This is mullet.
Signing out for this week's episode of Married with Movies. We'll catch you next time on our couch.
/ the movies. This also just didn't make me want to read any of these books. I'll never read. Oh, I had to read Invisible Man for school, but I just cliff notes it because that was one of the cool ones I could have read. And I just, it's like, I get it.
No, you didn't.
I did. I was busy. I was working at the Regency 8.
I fucking hate you.
's. Thank you for playing Arcade Audio. Play more at arcadeaudio.net.